Well, it's good to be back with you again on this very special day when we remember our mothers. Believe it or not, we're all on the same page. We all have a mother. Whether you can remember that or not, I'm not sure, but that's very important to us. We've all got a mother. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 19, and we begin to read together at verse 17. John chapter 19 and verse 17. And he, that is Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished, and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Mothers are very special people. They cook things like breakfast or lunch or snack. They're dexterous people that hook up things like buttons and hooks up the back. Mothers are also people that blow things like balloons and kisses and roses. They're green thumbish people that grow things like ivy and puppies and children. Mothers are people who send things like letters and strawberry tarts. Magical people who mend things like jeans and elbows and hearts. Mothers are people who find things like mittens and homework and germs. Soft-hearted people who keep things like artwork and report cards and ferns. Mothers are people who nurse things, a boy or a girl or a spouse. And all in all, there is no better thing than a mother in your house. Mothers are very mysterious, complex, and wonderful creatures. Just how much love they can mix with so much fire at the same time must be one of the greatest wonders of the world. Disobey her wishes, and you will see the greatest display of concern, determination, anger, compassion, and loving care all mixed together. In her home, she reigns supreme and almost godlike, and yet she's loved by every person and member of that home. That wonderful creature of her mother could only have been made after a lot of thought and a lot of work and a lot of experimenting. That is why Adam was made first, and then Eve. God knew that one day his son would come into the world by a mother. And maybe that is why he poured so much into them and so much care for them. What other creature could contain the infinite Son of God for 9 months and appear as though it was just something normal? Such humility and greatness and care could only be found in a mother that had been made by God. Our present-day foolishness that comes from all different kinds of sources, from educators and activists, that somehow mothers are unnecessary, must rank as one of the greatest lies that we've ever been told today. Ask any child, ask any teenager for that matter, any adult, and their answer will always tell the truth. Where would we be without a loving mother? An aged, white-haired woman sat with a smile on her face, waiting for her famous son, Dwight Eisenhower, to arrive. Someone said to her, "You must be very proud of this great and illustrious son of yours." She replied, "Which son? Every one of them are equally great at the same time." Dwight Eisenhower himself said, "My sainted mother taught me a devotion to God and a love for the country which has always sustained me in every lonely and bitter moment of her decision. To her I yield a son's reverent thanksgiving." Jesus loved his mother. Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother. It's such a short little statement. But in the darkest hour in all of man's history, we recognize that probably something greater than even all the tyrannies of the world were ever able to accomplish, or any Holocaust had ever taken place in the world, was this event that we have read of Christ on the cross of Calvary. No other time in all of man's cruelty did any people ever have the opportunity or the madness to kill the Son of God. At no other time. He had come in innocence and by a miracle to this world through the Virgin Mary herself. He had subjected himself to the confines and the regulations of a normal home. He had started his ministry in obscurity and humility, and he had cared for and loved and healed and taught the people like no one else had ever done. And all the while there was the comfort and the encouragement and the teaching of his mother. Many could not fully understand who this strange child was. Even Mary herself had pondered the words that Simeon had spoken to her, that he would be great and that all the world would be moved by him. She struggled with her son's relationship to his heavenly father. "Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" She sought to protect him from the accusing jealousy of the priests that were always seemingly to attack him. Yet she believed in him both physically and spiritually as well. And she pondered these things in her heart. Now her son is hanging on a cruel cross. And she had to be there, like any mother would have. What anguish and what turmoil and what sorrow were going on in her life, we are not told. But we know that it must have been something extreme that can never be explained. This perfect, perfect child that had never sinned and had never done anything wrong, not even once, was now being crucified as a common criminal on a Roman cross. And all her motherly instincts would scream out against such cruelty being inflicted upon him. She would want to rescue her son from the suffering that he was going through. She would want to save him from the obvious impending death that was going to take place. She would not even want to have been there at that horrible scene if it had been possible. But Jesus knew that his mother would be there, standing with him. That's what mothers do, don't they? The night before, everyone had forsaken him. The night before, they had led him away to the high priest, Caiaphas, and there they had tried him again and again and again. In fact, over 6 times, Jesus went through public trials. And every time, they found that there was nothing worthy of death in him. Where were those multitudes now that he had so lovingly cared for and helped and healed and lifted up and fed and taught the heavenly words of life? Where were they now in his direst need? There was just a handful at the cross, and prominent amongst them was his mother again, gazing with eyes full of tears upon her trusted and dying son. No wonder that scene has furnished the theme for countless poets and artists and preachers, and all the forces of sin and love tangled together just can't explain what is going on there. But in the midst of all of that struggle and all of that determination to exterminate him and the truth that he spoke, was Jesus' mother standing and encouraging him as best she could. Not able to help in any way, but simply having to be near her son. Someone has said her torments were her tortures, and her heart bled with his wounds as well. Many, many times has a mother comprehended the sufferings that their loved children go through, and not knowing what to do many times and not knowing how they can help, but always being there in the time of need. Always being there when they called out at nighttime, after school, in times of turmoil, or in times of rejoicing when they may have won a prize or something like that. But always there, and important to be able to help them through each situation. Mary loved her son because her son had come from heaven above. And Jesus loved his mother with a love from heaven above. And though the work of redemption was one that only he himself could do, there is little doubt that having his mother there was a great comfort in many ways. Jesus died for you, and he died for me, and for all the other sinners of the world, of which every one of us was one at one time or another. But he also died for his mother, that she might have eternal life as well, in the home that he was going to prepare for all of those that followed after him. Secondly, we notice that Jesus looked for his mother. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, out of all of that jeering crowd and the mocking of the people and the cruelty of the words that were thrown at him, the one whom Jesus loved would have stood out in loving contrast to everybody else. Probably with tears running down her cheeks and the look of utter perplexity upon her face, Mary was all that Jesus had. And there's more truth in that statement than meets the eye at first. Because everything had been taken away from him. His dignity and his ability and his power. But above all, his clothes had been stripped off of him and either torn asunder or gambled by the soldiers. And that was all that he really ever possessed in life. That was all that he ever earned upon the face of the earth. But one thing that he had that was more valuable than all the riches of the world was his mother. And it was his own mother. And the beauty of it was that they couldn't take that away from him. No matter what comes into our lives, no matter how difficult our situations are, our mother is one that is never taken away from us. Our mother is one that we can always look back upon, and most times with a great deal of reverence and love and care, as we see what they poured into our lives and sacrificed on our behalf as well. Sad indeed is the child or the young person or even the most successful people in the world who does not have a mother that they can look back upon and that they can believe in and that they can trust and know that she will look after their interests to the best of her ability. Even sadder is the person who has a mother and does not look for her in our greatest moments in life or in the times of emotional stress in one way or another. When Carter Burgess resigned as Secretary of Defense, he was awarded an exceptional service medal by the Army for the work that he had done. He said, you know, after listening to the long tributes that were given to him and the accolades that were poured out upon him, he said, I'm very sorry that my mother wasn't here. She would have enjoyed the ceremony so much, and she would have believed every word that was said. Well, Mary wasn't enjoying the ceremony that was going on that day. But she did believe every word that her son had ever said or had ever spoken as well. Little did she know that the words that were said to her some 30 years before was going to come to pass so fully. A sword shall pierce through your own soul. Now the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon his poor, hurting mother and is unable to help her in any of her sufferings whatsoever. What anguish this must have caused her, we're not told at all. What anguish it must have caused him as well, we're not told. But with a heart filled with infinite love and compassion, it must have been very great to see his mother suffering in that way. Though all of his human instincts would cry out to relieve that dear woman's hurt and pain, like he had done many times before for so many other people, but he couldn't do it for his mother. Because a greater and more terrible pain had to be dealt with without his mother being a part of it. And part of the cost of having to accomplish the great work that he'd been sent to accomplish was to let his mother suffer on without the nearness of her son to be able to comfort her. It may be that by now Mary had grasped some of the greatness of the work and the sacrifice that Christ was going to accomplish. We're not sure. It was difficult for her. It was difficult for the disciples. They couldn't grasp it either. How the one that they loved and had so much power was willing to go to a Roman cross and let people do the very worst they could imagine to him. And Mary was in the same position as well. And although she may have understood a little, there were still so many unanswered questions. It may be that in that look from her son as he looked down upon his mother, that there was conveyed the message that it was all right. It was going to be all right. How she would ever grasp that, we're not sure. But we're not told what was going on in the silent sufferings of Mary's heart, or what was the thoughts in her mind. But someplace along the line, as a mother, she knows that God's way is better, even if they are not understood. And that's what a mother can do, like no one else. Many a mother has come to that similar situation in doing God's will and seeking God's will for her family and her children as well. And many have found the look of the Savior enough to satisfy their many questions and to bring peace and comfort to their aching hearts. My mother, upon hearing of the desire that my wife and I were going to go far off to the mission field, when they really wanted us to stay at home, she said to us the words I never forget, "We will not stand in your way to do God's will." What a sacrifice that is. What a great glory that is. And what an encouragement too. Mary was in the same position. Somehow she knew this was God's will. And then we see thirdly as well, Jesus cared for his mother. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Already the Lord Jesus had prayed for hers, for his tormentors, and he had pleaded that they be forgiven because they didn't know really what they were doing, that he was the Son of God, the beloved Son of God. They didn't know that they were killing the very truth that had come from heaven and the pure personification of that truth in a way that had never been known before. And already he had lifted the soul of one of his fellow sufferers on the cross beside him into the very hope and the promise that that day they would share paradise together in a very marvelous way. Already he had suffered untold agony, and the worst was still to come. And now the Lord turns his thoughts to the future of his mother. Mary was advancing in years. Joseph, her husband, had passed away quite some time before. His brothers really didn't believe in Jesus until quite a bit later. And so Mary was very much alone. The Lord's love for his mother was very tender, and it was ever grateful and compassionate for all that she had done for him down through the years. There's not a mention of it in Scripture any place. And any mother would recognize that. Because often the many sacrifices that they make and the things that they do, well, they just kind of slip by without too much gratitude being shown for them, isn't it? But in spite of the fact that Christ was bearing the sins of the world, and he was going to bear the judgment of those sins, yet there was still room in his heart and in those few moments left on the cross to care for his mother. He couldn't be around to look after her. That was obvious. Even more important, there had come the time when the earthly tie that had bound him and his mother together was now to be broken forever. And this is very, very significant. Christ was crucified, and at the same time, he was being glorified in that crucifixion. And Jesus had prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world." And this was the step of glory that he was going to go through. The amazing thing that we see here is that Mary would not have any part of it whatsoever. In spite of what some churches try to teach us, Mary was simply a sinful woman, the same as everybody else that needed to be saved, although she was a chosen vessel of God himself to be the bearer of the Christ child. And so what we see that his true place and position as the very Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, was so lofty and so important that he turns to his mother and he addresses her with this very simple word, "Woman." How that must have struck Mary's heart. She was his mother. She was the one that had cared for him, as we've mentioned. She was the one that was so tied to him so closely. And he addresses her as "woman." In our language, that's a little bit condescending. But in the Greek and in the Jewish culture, that's not quite so degrading as that. It is a word of endearment, but there's all the significance of the world in that word. He's breaking the tie. He's breaking the family tie between himself and his mother. She is just a woman, albeit a very precious woman at that. How that must have struck Mary deeply. But the eyes of her understanding would soon be open as she went through the turmoil of seeing her son die and then the joy of seeing him rise again to newness of life. The arrangement that the Lord Jesus made was both appropriate and loving under the circumstances. He provided for a home for her care in her advancing years. And who better would be able to do that than the disciple whom Jesus loved? That was John himself. And John doesn't mention his name. John never mentions his name. He's always so humble that he just says that I was the one that Jesus loved. Well, Jesus loved a lot of people, but somehow there was a deeper affection for John. And John knew that as well. But we see here that perhaps in the closeness of that relationship together, that none was closer to Jesus' mother than John. And none was filled with more love than John himself. John speaks of it often, both in his gospel and in his epistles as well. He was the apostle of love. And so Jesus commends her to John's care and keeping. And John took his duties gladly and gratefully out of service for his master. And we read, from that hour, he took her to his own home in verse 27 there. You know, this teaches us a number of important lessons. The care that Christ has for all his loved ones, not only his mother, but you and me as well. He really, really cares for us. More than any mother could ever do. He cares for us more than anyone else could ever do. And then there's the necessity to provide for those that are near and dear to us. That's critical in these days. I'm constantly coming up against families that their children have totally abandoned their parents. They never see them. They say in France that the children grow up, and when they become roughly 22, 23 years of age, they leave home and never come back again. Jesus, of course, shows the necessity of providing for those that are our loved ones. And then there's the responsibility of those that are deprived, maybe, of family life. They need a great deal of comfort and care as well. There's the need for kindness and love, especially for those that have poured their lives into us in giving to us life. There's nothing greater in the world than a woman that has given life to her children. A man can't do that, obviously. And so it was given to a woman to bring life into the world. And that is so precious for us that we need to especially care for them. We need to honor them. We need to exalt them, because without them, we wouldn't be here, would we? It's very simple. And then we see the close bond between all of those that name the name of Christ, not only his mother, but John and the rest of the disciples as well, and all those that would follow after him are all tied up in this close relationship. He says to him, to his mother, behold your son. And he says to John, behold your mother. And from that time, John looked after her. Historians tell us that John took her to Ephesus, and she actually died there in Ephesus. But if the Lord was so careful to care for his mother in the midst of such terrible trial and suffering, how much more will he care for us who are spiritually united to Jesus Christ through faith in his finished work on the cross of Calvary? How much more does he care for us that we are part and parcel of him, that we are his children, that we've been adopted into his family, we've been made one with him by the very Spirit of God? And if God can look after the normal things of this world, and Christ himself, as he says, consider the birds. He said, consider the flowers. He said, look how they live, how they work. Look at the beauty they have. But he says, are you not much greater than these? And here we see it exemplified as Christ, of course, gives such loving care to his mother. And so Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe in me. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and I'll take you unto myself, and I will never leave you, and I will never, ever forsake you. Years ago, a mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying a little baby in her arms, and she was overtaken by a sudden snowstorm, never did reach her destination alive. Her body was found beneath the snow, but she had removed her outer clothing and had wrapped it around the baby in an effort to save its life. Her desperate act of self-sacrifice was successful, and they found the child that was alive and well. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, became the Prime Minister of Great Britain and one of England's greatest statesmen. Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. Nothing is more loving than that he would take all of our sins in his body and take the punishment of it on that cross in order that we might become part of his family. He took the wrath all on himself. It cost him his life, but the child of God can find safety and security and forgiveness by simply putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ and finding eternal life. The most important thing that we can do is to not turn our back on the love of Christ that he has for us and the door that he's opened for us for eternal life. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor for all that he has done for us. Mary was just one of those along the road. And we ourselves that know Christ as our Savior are just as loved. There's no difference in heaven at all between one believer and another. They're all there by the grace and the mercy of God. And we can be a part of it. Render to your mother the honor that is hers alone, and to Christ the praise and the worship that he deserves on your behalf. Let's sing in closing a couple of verses together. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, Jesus came forth. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as dark as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, made the endless sin, living a lovely, dying a sin. My sins far away, rising a justified, freely found.